Everyone, this is your one and only source, a Gossip Girl podcast. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Miranda. And today we're going to talk to you about the third episode of the first season of the new Gossip Girl called Lies Wide Shut, which frankly is an episode that made me glad maybe that I don't have a dad anymore. I don't know.
It's very dad.
Not really, but it's a joke, but it's fine.
Yeah, it was definitely a one for the dads, but like in
bad
the
night
worst
for dads.
Way. Yeah, bad night for dads. But you know, and it didn't really. I mean, I don't know. I feel like Davis surprises me every single episode. It's like I think he's gonna be shitty, and then he has these nice rational discussions, and things work out. And I'm like, okay, cool.
I think it's just a character note that, like, he has been to therapy.
Yes. Like, he has been to therapy. He is an adult man who acts like an adult with a child. You know, like, they have, like, a father-child relationship.
Yeah, and he also has great choices in homes.
Absolutely. Love his decor.
Actually, that's not true. I don't know anything about the pied-a-terre, but... Maybe right. We'll find out.
It looks like it was like at least a part of a brownstone, which I can always get on board with. So
yeah, very true. Okay, I'd like to jump in first off with a correction. So last week I did say that Aki's parents were therapists. That is not true. Something that I do a lot of is troll around the PR release site for Gossip Girl just to, like, you know, get some info. And they had character descriptions, and one of the things in the character descriptions was like how everyone is rich, which I found very interesting. And it let me know that Aki's parents are modeled after like a Rupert Murdoch type. And I was like, oh my God, I want to throw up. Like, literally the most evil man in the world. I don't understand how you like are like that and then your kid is Aki. But I digress.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a dated reference a little bit also. Like, I feel like we could have used someone else.
Well, it's the Succession vibes of it all, because Succession is also like the Murdoch family-ish.
Okay.
Except American, not Australian. But I digress. I just don't understand how like that makes an Aki.
Right. I wonder if we're ever going to, with such a like specific description, I wonder if we're ever going to meet them.
I feel like we may, because I feel like I saw the actor doing something.
Oh. Okay.
Like, I feel like I saw a picture of Aki, of Evan, and, like, the guy who's playing his dad. I don't know. But I feel like I did. I'm just, you know, a little unsure. The other one that I thought was interesting was that, like, Monet's parents are in Big Pharma, apparently. And Luna's parents are, like, Mexican movie stars. I was like, okay, that's cool. And she lives by herself in New York.
Oh, that's not great. But the Monet's parents being in Big Pharma, like,
this old money.
Very salesy also. Definitely fits with her, I think.
Well, it's certainly low morals to me.
Right. Right.
So yeah. Anyway. We also have our kind of other housekeeping things at the beginning. So the episode was written by Lila Feinberg. Great name, by the way. She was also a staff writer on Younger, and she also writes plays as well. And then it was directed by Jennifer Lynch, who's obviously like directed a ton of network TV shows. And, you know, if Lynch sounds familiar, it is because she is David Lynch's daughter. And I don't usually like to define women by the men who are around them, but like for her, I mean, I can't not say that like she's David Lynch's daughter. Anyway, she also directs the next episode, which is called Fire Walks with a Z, and that's a play on Fire Walks with Me, which is a David Lynch movie.
I thought her directing resume was very diverse, all things considered. I mean, we had Younger, The Walking Dead, American Horror Story, and everything in between.
Did she have Younger? I thought Younger was the writer.
I think she had Younger also. Like, I think she directed one at least. I think it was Younger.
If not, it'll be in Corrections Corner next week.
Exactly. So she was very diverse resume.
The thing that I thought was like notably missing from her resume that like she should do is Riverdale. Weird that she hasn't done Riverdale. Because they're constantly referencing David Lynch in Riverdale.
Oh,
Something that Olivia does not know.
Interesting.
As a season five of Riverdale watcher, I know these things.
Yeah, I am. Okay. Oh, and Lies Wide Shut is a play on Eyes Wide Shut. As though I need to say that just so I can contribute information.
Thank you so much. Eyes Wide Shut when I was reading the synopsis, I was like, oh, this kind of sounds good.
I think it's like a swinger movie, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, this kind of sounds good.
Yeah, I'm like,
kind of sounds like the Aki, Audrey, and Max situation.
Yeah, yeah. It's I've heard many of things about it. I've never seen it, but yeah, I wouldn't be mad about it.
For sure. I'm not a Tom Cruise fan. I think you could probably figure that out. Yeah, it's Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Oh,
anyway, this is not a nice white show.
Yeah, but it was like when they were married. Interesting. Okay.
Anyway, we got one review last week about like how well organized our show is, which thank you so much. But we decided to fully reorganize it. So normally we do like a chronological breakdown of the episode, and this time we are going to be doing it more in kind of a storyline basis. So we are breaking it down into the Aki, Audrey, and Max storyline that we have going on, which is really, you know, mostly Aki and Audrey's, you know, dalliances, I guess you could say. And then we have the sort of Julian storyline, which is the Max storyline as well. So Julian and Max. And then we have Zoya and Obi are kind of off on their own a little bit in this episode. And then we have the teacher's storyline as well. So yes. We're hoping that this might make things a little bit less confusing. We do like less of sort of switching back and forth. So hopefully this helps, but like let us know your thoughts. You know, our DMs are open.
And I'm just going to go ahead and insert this correction now. Jennifer Lynch did not direct any younger episodes. She directed Quantico, which was another tie-in to back to Priyanka Chopra and Quantico. Right.
They referenced Priyanka Chopra like in this episode.
I think the show had like two seasons and for some reason is everywhere now. So yeah. Good for you, Priyanka.
Look, she's apparently killing it.
I one gripe I will say about this show is that it seems that they just make up things like nicknames and sayings that aren't, you know, canon in the world we live in. So that's hard.
Yeah, we won't hold Zugly against them, you know. It's not good. Okay, do you want to start and read through the Aki and Audrey storyline, or should I? I feel like I've been talking a while.
Sure, I'll start.
And I also have a lot of notes on this.
Aki, Audrey, and Max. So Audrey confesses that she slept with Max multiple times to her bestie Julian, but swears her to secrecy while she grapples internally with her indiscretions. Seemingly simultaneously, Aki lets news of his stray naked bathhouse makeout session with Max not so casually slip to Obi. Neither of their indiscretions has solved their complete awkward mess that is their sex life together. Just before they fall asleep for the night, they receive a vague Gossip Girl blast about cheating within a constant power couple, and they both immediately assume that their own secret is out. Individually, Aki and Audrey confront Max in the courtyard of Constance the next day, but he quickly brushes them off and flatly denies sending in the tip. He has a lot more to worry about. Audrey slowly unravels more and more throughout the day, worrying about Aki finding out the blast was about her. Max seemingly lulls them both into a false sense of security during the play they see later that evening, but then completely outs their secrets to each other during his post-show spiral. They talk it over the next morning and work it out, this relationship of convenience continues on.
Yes, it does. So an interesting thing that you didn't bring up here, maybe on purpose, I'm going to bring it up. So this was the episode that people were talking about a lot in the previews and like when people were doing reviews of the show, that like the sexual content in this episode was a little much.
What? And
To which I'd say I found it like so tame and like quick and like not that weird. I don't know. I was
we saw Audrey get fully orally satisfied in public.
Yeah, I was like, this was really like not that. I don't know. Everyone seemed to be so like up in arms about it when people were reviewing the show, and I was like, why? It's like not a big deal. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't think there was really any super explicit parts. I'm like trying to remember where that would be.
Oh, okay. Then we can keep it going. I'll let you know after. But yeah, there was like, you know, that scene in this
where she goes around where the back she's of the going house.
Down and keeps going.
Yeah, but
going.
It's not like we don't see anything. What do we she like vaguely mentions that she went to the back door, and like, honestly, that's it.
I feel like they could show that on CW. I'm not even kidding. Like, it was so nothing, and like everyone was making such a big deal out of it, and people were like,
she literally, it was just like a mention. We saw nothing. The only way we knew,
and like, they also kept saying that was like how Aki found out that she cheated, and like, no, it wasn't. He was not smart enough to put it together.
That was when Max just flat out told him, but you know.
There's a lot more of like Aki and Obi being dumb in this, and it's just like not good. So there was another part of the Audrey and Aki storyline that I thought was very interesting, where you get kind of juxtaposed or like parallel to each other. Aki telling Obi about his indiscretions with Audrey telling Julian about hers. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that it was sort of the same conversation that they were both having, and it's like, oh yeah, these couples actually kind of make sense. They're saying the same things. But I will say Aki and Obi just dumber, because they're not having this conversation in a bathroom, like just idiots talking about this in the hallway.
Yeah, but also I don't know that makes them compatible. It's just, it's kind of like, I think those are the immediate emotions one would have if they had cheated on their significant other. I think they both have pretty baseline moral standards that they have met, apparently, and like they feel bad that they cheated, so they tell their best friend, because that's, I guess, what you do when you cheat, is you tell everybody. So
I was a little confused about the time frame here, but we'll get into it in the next section. I don't know, the timeline doesn't quite make sense to me, but that's fine. I also thought like, Aki mentioned, I always want to say Obi when I am saying Aki for some reason, but anyway, Aki says to Obi that it's just a one-time thing, it's not going to happen again. Didn't seem like a one-time thing last week. Like, it seemed, he literally said, do we need to do it again?
Yeah, and again, I immediately think, well, Audrey, obviously, this is a more severe thing on her part. However, Aki was completely, they were completely naked. Like, I cannot.
I honestly think they're kind of on the same level.
Yeah, it takes the awkward, like, from, like, 0 to 1,000 being completely nude, you know? I think that's just, that
there's, again, like, in public.
Yes, in public. There's just a level of intimacy that was happening there that I don't know. Sex might not even get to that point. So
True.
You can have, like,
But also, like, if that actually was a good friend of yours and you were actually just helping them out as a friend, like, it could mean nothing. But clearly it didn't.
No, it was so, it was like, it was so intimate that it, I felt uncomfortable watching them because they needed their privacy. Like, I'm like,
that was more uncomfortable to watch than the Audrey and Aki scene in this episode. Frankly,
I feel like that's just a normal thing that people do. I didn't feel like that was that big of a deal. I'm like, okay, tried something new, didn't work.
Totally sure how normal it is, but you know, to each their own.
You know, yeah,
it's more normal than this bathhouse situation,
right? Especially with how like stale and stagnant their sex life seems to be. It's like, okay, she's throwing something new in there, didn't work, moving on. You know, it didn't seem like it rocked their world at all. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe I'm just very progressive.
Yeah, you do that, Olivia. I also thought, really Obi showing his true colors here when he says, okay, then who cares? Re-Aki kissing someone. And it's like, what? I thought you were like Mr. Righteous, Mr. High Horse, but like this guy cheating on his girlfriend, supposedly no big deal. Don't care.
Yeah, I don't know. Men are garbage.
Weird. He also assumes she pronouns, which, you know, I understand right. If it's your best friend, but, you know, interesting.
You think you know someone.
Truly.
But he doesn't know Aki and he is garbage. So we know nothing.
Yeah. There was also a note that came earlier that I just thought was funny that Audrey says like, oh, it's just my latent self-destructive tendencies showing up. And I'm like, you're 16. Nothing you're doing is latent.
Right. I feel like 16's a pretty standard arrival for self-destruction, you know?
Yeah. It was very
latent strange. Since what? 15? Maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was really funny. And then another thing that I thought was really funny, it was like Max having to deal with Aki and Audrey during his hangover. Like, I just thought that was so funny. And like, he was basically wearing a kindergarten playmat. Like, it was all hilarious.
Julian's, to be fair, Julian's hangover outfit was odd as well. She was wearing tennis shoes.
So was her party outfit. I mean, not
yeah,
her babe.
Yeah.
Catsuit? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like there should have been another piece to that outfit that was missing. But also her hangover outfit was, I don't even
the
know
new
what
collection from Skims.
Yes. She looked like an acrobat or something. Like she needed like a hoop.
Fresh out of Cats.
But her hangover outfit was ginormous sunglasses and
love it.
Indoors and tennis
green
shoes,
juice,
like white
water,
tennis
and
shoes,
coffee.
And then a floor length trench coat. And I'm like, that's floor length.
I loved her in a trench coat.
I liked the trench coat, not with giant white tennis shoes, chunky, giant white New Balance, probably tennis shoes. It was too much.
You don't think they're like Balenciaga?
Oh, I'm sure they are. But I think every chunky white tennis shoe is New Balance. So you
well,
can slap
$1,000. Your millennial is showing.
You can slap $1,000 price tag on it. They're still New Balance.
No, they're not. anyway, I just thought that was funny. I did. What was the thing I was going to say about Julian? We're not even talking about Julian, so never mind. Anyway,
but we will
that's
be
all
soon.
That happened with Aki and Max, or Aki and Audrey.
Yeah.
That's all we have.
Right.
They were not super interesting to
me. No, and but Audrey, what was funny was Aki kind of kept his shit together for the most part while being blackmailed. But
Audrey was losing her mind.
Yeah, she was spiraling out of control without any influences of drugs or alcohol or anything like that. She just was, the self-destructive tendencies are out in full force for sure.
Yeah, I do wonder, like, now that they both know, like, what happens now?
It was the most awkward conversation I've ever seen in my life. I think less awkward was arguably her experimenting with the backdoor stuff on him, not on herself, unprompted. But like, it was so awkward because
They're
both like, you don't want to do it again? You're not going to cheat on me again? Cool. We're together. Moving on. It was... Again,
in the middle of a hallway.
Relationship out of convenience.
For sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it brings you back to last episode when Aki was like, divorce, divorce. Like,
divorce.
Same thing. That's my, like, Aki's character note is like, that's his nightmare.
Right, is a breakup, which I want to see an Aki spiral. I think since we've seen everybody else except for Obi and Aki, basically, I want to see like a full-on Aki just lose his shit. I think equally I would
to
see Obi lose his shit too, but I don't know. They'd both be interesting.
Yes. I would rather see Luna and Monet lose their shit.
I don't know, because we see later, we do see Monet making out with a girl at the bar, you know? I don't think they lose their shit.
Is that her
losing
her shit, or is that her
just
living
her life? I don't think they, like, lose. I think they can't lose their shit. Like, that's their, like, it, to their core being, are controlled and, like, and always have their, have it together, where mm-hmm. Aki and Obi are so close to losing their shit at all times. But, yeah. And I need someone to push them over the edge.
And, you know, I will say this, and I frankly will stand by it. Aki and Obi, not that smart. Luna and Monet, genius level, brilliant mastermind manipulators.
Right, right. Completely agree.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of Luna and Monet, let's talk about Julianne and Max now that we've finished the Aki and Audrey storyline. So we start off with Julianne, and she's busy dating all of the rich, eligible Gen Zers of the world, which includes like a truffle hunting Italian man, I believe the son of a Shah that she goes yachting with, and Frankie Jonas. One of these things is not like the other, as her attempt to both get over Obi and reclaim her seat as queen. But not a single spark has flickered. Max hears about this and thinks her image is overly curated, which is putting guys off from trying to get to know her better. So he proposes an eat, pray, party night on the town with him to help her find herself. So I am obsessed with this montage of Julianne rebounding, this opening, incredible. Like, I loved the shout out to Frankie Jonas, first of all. You had a big, like, TBT integration here. Shout out Frankie Jonas. I also loved that the line that says PC told him he was hotter than Joe and Kevin combined. And you see Luna and Monet both roll their eyes like, yeah, right. Which That's PC is supposed complete... to be Priyanka.
Yeah, I guess. We've all seen Frankie Jonas, right?
Also, like, Kevin has really had a glow up lately, so I just, like, something that I can't co-sign.
Again, one of these things is not like the other, and there's a reason Frankie's not in the band.
Okay, sure. this is the thing where the timeline was very confusing to me, because based on Audrey coming in and telling Julianne this thing, it seems like with that this happened like the night before. But then, you know, based on Julianne's stuff, that it's been, what, a week longer? I don't know. So I guess it has been a week, and maybe Audrey was just like sitting stewing on this, like waiting to tell Julianne. I don't really know.
Right, because it almost would imply that there was some kind of break, like a fall break, or because Julianne is gone across the world, you know, in the matter of, you know, I don't think she's doing,
I mean, it's not like we don't night. Know how to do online school now.
No, but I don't think she, I don't know, I think she's supposed to be at school and she's jetting across the world, so when did she fit that in?
And I think actually it probably was about a week between last episode and this one, because there was also that montage of like Zobi hanging out and doing their like runs and eating and stuff. So I think it's sort of both, like maybe there was actually a week, but then Aki waiting a week to tell Obi doesn't make sense, and like them only confronting Max now doesn't make sense. I don't know, the timeline is weird.
Yeah, and another weird timeline thing, Davis, Julianne's dad, mentions at the very beginning of the episode that he's taking a trip to Berlin. It's presumably in the morning before she goes to school, and he will be back tomorrow. So he's going to fly 8 hours to Berlin, there and back, and do what?
It could be more like 36 hours, you know, like if he flies out at like 8 a.m. in the morning, a.m. in the morning. I'm so sorry, everyone. I hate it when people do that. It could be 8 a.m. and then he arrives at like 11 p.m. the next day. Like, that's quite a bit of time, enough time to go to Berlin and back. I did look at like Google flights. I was like, how long does it take to get from like JFK to Berlin? No direct flights. So I don't know where he was flying out of. Like, did he have to go to Newark to fly to Berlin?
Well, and I don't know, seemed implausible, and but makes sense that Julian is just bouncing around the world in, you know, lightning speed, apparently.
She has a time machine. Berlin is not, maybe Berlin is like not that big of an airport, but yeah, I like can't find a direct flight to Berlin.
Yeah, I also Googled this and the average was at least 10 hours because of flight changes. You had to switch planes usually.
In Copenhagen? I don't know. Somewhere like that.
Yeah, one of the big ones, I would assume.
One of the big ones.
London. I don't know. Whatever.
Iceland. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I just like looking up logistics like that. Maybe he was flying private. Entirely possible he was flying private.
Even still, it's at least 8 hours of just straight flight time. So
I really kind of appreciated like Luna and Monet saying that like the men always win this, and I was like, yeah, they do, they bounce back and the women do not. And I liked that we get the note that Luna and Monet hate Audrey too, so it's not just a one-sided hatred situation. They all hate each other, and I don't really understand why they tolerate each other, but I guess it's for Julian,
right? Sometimes I really don't think Luna and Monet like Julian that much either, so
I don't know if they even like each other.
Right. I think they understand each other, so mm-hmm. I think if I'm gonna guess who likes each other the most, it's gonna be Luna and Monet. Audrey and Julian for mm-hmm. sure are the most genuine of relationships, but yeah, that the girl dynamic of this group makes no sense to me as a legitimate friendship group.
Yeah. And another thing that happens is Max says, maybe it's not about a man, maybe it's about her. And I was like, snaps, like, preach. Thank you, Max. Like, tell them. I also had nowhere else to put this, but I wanted to note that Gideon and Roy are Max's parents. Gideon is I think Gideon was the theater one and Roy yes. was the landscaper. Yes. And Roy mentions that he's doing like hedges for Ina and Jeffrey. And I was like, oh my God, so funny. I was like, thank you. Like I love this. I love this so much.
The most randomly placed mention, you know, that's.
They're big Hamptons people. It makes sense.
Yeah. But I mean, just what a piece to put in there, you know.
And it makes sense. I think they also like have a lot of gay friends. They're like in the Hamptons, they have a lot of gay friends. Like Ina and Jeffrey is perfect for right,
right.
Here.
And I feel
it.
Like Ina Garten is probably
an icon,
the Lady Gaga of the Hamptons, you know. Like oh, she is
absolutely
she is a gay icon of the Hamptons, if such a thing mm-hmm. exists. I mean, I know it does, and I know she has to be it. She has the best garden parties with
she's an icon,
the most
she's
fabulous people.
She is the moment
completely. And Jeffrey's there too, I guess, sometimes. Every
yeah,
once
love,
in a while.
Love Ina. She is the barefoot Contessa.
Yes absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
should we switch up this one or do you want me to just keep reading?
Go for it.
Oh God. Okay. I thought you were going to say
that. Okay, cool. I'll go for it then. That's what I meant is I'll go for it. Julian and Max hit the clubs where Max films her dancing and relays that she is featured in her underwear in the Daily Mail. She then snorts 2 vials of space coke, which is cocaine and ketamine.
Thank you so much for the education, Olivia.
Well,
the
waitress does explain
know,
it too.
But I just can't believe that something someone would need.
These are two very, very opposite things. So I don't totally understand why you would take them together. But
okay. You're talking to me like I know what ketamine is.
Ketamine's like
horse tranquilizer.
It's like okay. Horse tranquilizer.
That's all
but
I
it's
know.
Very often used for people. But still, yeah. It's,
as we've said, you're the pharmaceutical expert.
It's a big time tranquilizer, and I don't know why you would take it with cocaine. I don't know. I don't do those kinds of drugs or any drugs for that matter. But specifically not that seems ridiculous. But she's riding high in the bathroom, and Julian has a quick heart to heart with another female club goer who is Elizabeth Lail, finally, she arrives.
I know, finally we know who Elizabeth Lail is. I had a question. Is your riding high a joke about it being horse tranquilizer?
No, but sure.
Okay, pun not intended, but funny.
Thanks. I do what I can. but Elizabeth Lail tells her that she doesn't need a man. However, she mentions that her own boyfriend has her sleep over at his pied-a-terre and won't go public with their relationship. So, you know, it's a bad night for dads, as we have previously mentioned, because Julian soon sees that her bathroom friend, Elizabeth Lail, is in a booth with her dad, Davis, who is supposed to be in Berlin. Now we know how he got there and back so fast. And Max is prowling on an app called Scruff, which I assume is similar to a Grindr situation. And
apparently it's real and it works that way.
Oh, really?
I saw a tweet that I think was liked by Josh Safran from one of their writers who was like, it was a very fun day in the writer's room when I had to explain to all the straight people what Scruff was.
I feel like you could have just, I'm going to go with Grindr. You know, it's like similar, I'm sure.
I think the way that it actually operated was a little bit different, but.
Yeah, because I know Grindr is like very specific proximity, but.
This seemed to be too.
Oh, okay. Well.
Anyway, I don't know.
I'm not downloading that app. But
it's not for us, Olivia.
No. But Max comes across his own father's newly single profile, and that is Roy. Not Roy the landscaper. Mm-hmm. So that's cute.
So I am annoyed that my theory about Elizabeth Lail is wrong. As a refresher, I was under the impression that she was going to be dating Audrey's dad. She was going to be like the assistant of Audrey's mom, who was now like with Audrey's dad. And I'm wrong about that, and I'm sad because it ruins my perfect prediction streak. But I was close enough. Someone's dad is dating her. It's just not Audrey's.
Yeah, I have a note that I don't know why I thought it would have been really funny if later on we do see that Julian confronts her dad about his girlfriend. And I really wish she would have just straight taken the line from The Parent Trap where... they're talking about Meredith, and she says, I've always wanted a big sister. You're going to adopt Lola. And I think that would have been really cute, but she doesn't.
Classic.
She just goes a much more formal way about it. But, mm-hmm. you know, I wish Julian and Davis could have this relationship where he pretends she's an idiot and would say something like that as a you know, 16-year-old as opposed to, or yeah, 16, as opposed to whatever, 10 or 12 they're supposed to be in The Parent Trap.
I did especially like Julian's kind of one-liners in this episode, so honestly that like wouldn't have felt super out of place.
Well, and her plan compared to, so they
let's both, wait until we get to the plan.
Okay, it's not as illogical, I guess, as Max's, but also Lola, we're recycling an OGG name with OGG Lola
name.
Yeah, that's the one that we went with. Lola, really?
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and they're, well, no, I guess original Lola was like kind of like redhead, so never mind.
I'm gonna not lie to you, I have no memory of Lola.
She was that really cute, like the, she was the the sister, the long lost sister, Stephen Baldwin's. Yeah, I don't know.
Sure.
She was in the last season.
I gotta say, my memory of Gossip Girl is much better for the first like seasons, like the first two or three, encyclopedic. After that, really, it's down from there. I actually was doing some, I was looking on the Wikipedia page because I was just curious, like what episodes Josh Safran like wrote of the first ones. So that was a fun little rabbit hole to go down to be like, which ones like did he do? But you know, it's interesting.
She was with the whole Ivy thing.
Where
she was like the girl in Florida. That whole thing where she was like at school or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, recycled name.
Yeah. So the next morning, Max and Julian reconvene and remind the other of mutually assured destruction of their plans, but of course continue on their hungover ways anyway. Max chooses to blackmail Aki, Blocky, into catfishing his cheating father and their teacher as their teacher, Rafa. Oh my god. So Julian hunts down Lola at her job and follows her to Davis's pied-a-terre. She leaves flowers and a ticket for the play that evening, and of course, much to Davis's surprise, Lola arrives fully anticipating this to be their first outing as a public couple. I gotta say, I love Julian in her Joe from You cosplay. Like, it's really as though they just green screened her into the You scenes. And it's almost like comforting in a way. I'm like, oh, I remember this. Like, following Elizabeth Lail past brownstones. Cute.
I watched a TikTok that was
can't wait for her to get murdered.
Did you see the, it was a Joe party, everybody dressed up as a Joe and somebody did Joe from You.
That's funny.
It was really funny.
I kind of love that. Did Taylor Swift get an invite? She would have loved that. She loves a Joe. Joe Jonas, Joe Alwyn, Joe Biden.
No one went as Joe Biden. Oh, that's the one I would have
that's
gone
a miss,
as.
Honestly. That's,
what the hell? I can't even remember the other Joe Dirt was one of them.
Too many Joes.
Yeah.
One like... Is that guy's name Joe Exotic? Is that one of them? That's an easy Joe.
Yeah,
costume.
But I think someone that's pretty close to Joe Dirt. I mean Joe Dirt, whatever. But yeah,
Joey from Friends.
Somebody Joes. Did Joey from Friends. But yeah,
Joey King.
No one
you
did
could
Joey King.
Dress up as a Joey, like maybe a baby kangaroo.
Yes, just to get a kangaroo onesie, so easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Joe Biden would have been really funny.
Do you still have your giraffe onesie?
I do. Okay. I mean, yeah, it's in a box somewhere in storage and somewhere around here.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah, I have like
just wanted to know.
Yeah, I have like three onesies, you know, exciting. Just in case I need a costume on the fly.
Exciting. Sorry, I meant to mute before doing that, did not. I also need to say, it's very hard for me to get invested in, like, the Julian-Obi breakup, because, like, we never saw them happy, and I kind of feel the same with Audrey and Aki. Like, give us one cute date scene or something, so it's easier to know what they're missing.
Right, I'm not rooting for them.
No, me neither.
Together.
I'm not particularly rooting for Zoya and Obi either, but, like... Give me them being happy one time so I get it.
Yeah, the only person who ever gets what they want in this show is Obi, so.
You know what they say, that smile that you love can get you anything.
Right.
Yeah, gross.
Ooh, yeah. That's uncomfy.
It is.
Why take such a nice conversation and make it so creepy as you walk away?
It was going so well, too.
You were so close, Obi, and then you just ruined the whole thing.
Apparently he didn't, though.
No, but Zoya's also a child, so I'm sure it was, seemed nice to her.
Oh, no, okay.
So despite everything, Max and Gideon's relationship was so cute when they were getting dressed for this play situation. They were so cute, and like I just love their dynamic, and I love them so much.
It did, like, it genuinely made me so sad when like Gideon had to change and stuff because Roy like didn't want him to wear that. I was like, oh my god, like it like makes me so sad to think about like this man like being with someone who like doesn't respect what he wants to wear and like how he wants to present himself.
Right. And I mean, I do understand if you can't sit in something at a table.
I thought that was so funny.
Maybe not. I get it. I liked how he just stood there for a while too.
That was so funny.
There was just a full realization that this isn't going to happen. So I'm going to stand and eat at dinner while you all sit.
It's like the people like standing in sprinter vans as they go to the Met Gala.
I almost thought he was going to like grab a plate and just start passing, like he was gonna be a waiter or something. Like he was just going to do something along those lines, but no, he found a way to sit in those chairs, which was really, and no one addressed it, which was odd. Like
they all just let it happen.
If someone in my family,
it wasn't the first time, I'm sure
I would have made so much fun of someone in my family trying to do something like that. It would have been hilarious. But no, they were so nice and they were so cute.
God, I was about to tell a story and I was like, never mind, don't do it. I think I told you the story of the time I tripped up the stairs in my like college student union because my pants were too tight.
No, that's amazing. What kind of pants were they?
Oh, just like skinny jeans.
Oh, I was gonna say, I don't have pants that like don't stretch wildly in any direction.
So. No, the sad thing was like they were pants that were like far too small for me for a very long time and they were finally starting to fit and I just like, you know, jumped in too early.
That's, but also you couldn't do stairs in them.
I don't know, there was just like more resistance than I thought there would be as I was like late to class running up these spiral stairs.
But I would rather I think fall because of too tight of clothing than it split.
Oh, absolutely.
I would rather face plant, you know. I would probably rather like lose a tooth because I fell from too tight of clothing than everyone see my ass in pants, you know.
That's a no from me. But yeah, I don't know, the scene with Gideon and Max was so cute and like it's such a good, it really endears you to Max and like makes you kind of get,
oh my god, Max absolutely
so much more, and you're like, this is why Max is so, and look, he doesn't always make the best decisions, but like it's so admirable how like comfortable with himself he is,
right?
And like,
and comfortable with people being themselves too. Exactly. It's not even himself, it's he's perfectly happy with everyone doing whatever they want, you know, and like being who they are.
Preferably
like
there's no him.
right, but like if you want to, whatever makes you happy, whatever makes you as your be, whatever you want to be that makes you happy is perfect for him. And yeah, I especially lest coming from a man, it's like this is real. Someone, I mean, does this person exist? But
but like, lest we forget, he was the one in the first episode, while everyone else was like, we don't want Zoya to come hang out with us, he was the one that was like, she can come, like I don't care,
right? And she's hot enough. I think the quote was something that she's attractive enough to hang out with us, which is,
yeah, so it's like
whatever.
Would Max want to hang out with me? No, but
I know,
I appreciate that he's nice to these other
immediately
people.
I'm thinking, so he wouldn't be cool with me being there, but I'm glad he's, you know.
Yeah, there was also some weird like food stuff in this episode that I kind of noticed. I don't know, I felt like there were a lot of mentions about like dieting and weird, like,
everybody eating and not eating in front of each other. Yeah, the rules we'll get to in a little bit that Luna abides by and thinks others should live by are beyond insane.
Yeah, for sure. Did I read the last one or did you? I think I did.
Oh, okay. So meanwhile, Max has invited Rafa to attend the opening night of this play as well, ensuring that he is seated directly next to his dad's. After finding their own seats, Davis sees Julian across the theater and immediately realizes his secret is out and he has been set up by his own daughter. He confronts her after the show, but there is no real winner in this fight, obviously. And
which is realistic.
Yeah, no, I mean, even
no one wins these.
We knew that was going to happen. Speaking of confrontations, Max goes fully rogue on whatever plan he seemed to have and spills everything he knows to both his dad and Rafa. Gideon and Roy come to the realization that their relationship is probably not going to survive this, and Max is understandably devastated.
Yeah, I didn't know where to put this note, but I died laughing when Julian snatched the snacks from Obi, and then Obi says, who's that your dad's with? And Julian goes, why? Do you want to date her too? I love mean Julian. Like, nice Julian is great, but when Julian is mean, obsessed.
but again, would have worked so well with, she's my adopted sister. She's my older adopted sister. I now I have two. You can take both of them.
True. Wait.
But also, Obi brings so many snacks. I'm like, okay, Obi, this is a lot. But this show is 4 hours with no intermission. What?
Yeah, but like, do you think you would have much of an appetite?
No, I was, I thought I had a note on this, but I don't think I did. I couldn't look at anything else during that opening scene. There was a lot.
Yeah, that you can't show on CW.
Right.
That's what you're
talking about. That was that opening, whatever it was, scene thing was so much more jarring than the backdoor situation.
Yeah, I think that that's
definitely that's what people should have been talking about.
And the fact that, like, I don't know, I just, I, that's what Jeremy O'Harris does. Like, that's his shock value, gets people talking, makes people uncomfortable.
It made me a mission accomplished. Between the blood and...
Olivia, it's not for you.
No, it's certainly not for me. I didn't get it at all. And I was very fixated on,
well, we also
on the blood
saw
and the 30 penis.
30 seconds, not, yeah, fair. 30 seconds, not 4 hours.
Right. And if it went on for 4 hours, I think I'd be in the exact same situation.
It's art, Olivia.
Yes.
Get some culture.
Okay. Think, I mean, I truly believe that it is for someone and it makes sense to someone.
And you're not that someone.
My maturity level will never be there. So,
it's
and I
know
that about myself. So.
It's good to know that 14-year-old Zoya is more mature than you are.
She is very sophisticated, so I'm okay mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah. Cheers.
I would have stayed home. but this, okay, so when Gideon and Roy sit down next to Rafa, it just makes me love Gideon even more because he remembers, he like fully remembers his interaction with Max's teacher and he remembers his
like
name
Mr.
and
Kaparos.
The and this, he knows he teaches classics and he's, it's just so cute. He's just a treasure and I love him so much.
I know. It's like, they had a big conversation and Gideon was so happy about some of the books that he was going to be reading.
Yeah, he was
which confirmed Max is in classics. So Max is taking classics as an elective. Interesting.
Yeah, not my schedule, but anyway.
We're learning so much about you that like you just don't care about the classics, don't want to watch the Jeremy O'Harris play. Like, you're really...
Yeah.
Outing yourself. Like I'm outing myself for like wearing too tight of jeans and like you're outing yourself for having no taste.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah, fair.
To each their own, you know? Yeah.
So as Julian and her dad are having their confrontation, I'm like, Julian, shut up. Like you're lying to your dad too. Like just stop it. And then
and also
it's just
your dad can date people. Like, okay.
Yeah, he's also like your mom left, what, 15 years ago?
When you
least?
Were a baby. And
baby.
And, like, you also, like, we, your dad's a music producer? Please.
Grow
please.
Up.
Yeah. Let's not be naive, Julian.
Yeah. I think, actually, I don't think she's that mad about him dating someone. I think she's mad about him not telling her. But, like, you've been lying to your dad this whole time. So just stop.
Right. And also, Lola doesn't imply ever that this is super, super serious. She actually mm-hmm. kind of says the contrary, that he's, I know he's hiding me. And this, he doesn't say that we're together publicly. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I honestly think Julian doesn't like the way that Davis is treating Lola.
That's fair,
which is garbage. Yeah, it's like, Dad, do better. That's, don't treat her like shit. She's Elizabeth Lail. She's very cute.
Yeah, and she's a singer-songwriter and, you know,
and waitress at wherever, coffee shop or whatever.
Sure. It's just so hard to watch the Gideon and Roy, like, breakdown. It was just, like, it felt so real and, like, I don't know. It was just like, it just kept going and it was like, oof.
Okay. Oh, and then Rafa's there too, which I understand why, but it's just like, I feel as though Rafa was all of us in that moment. He was just like, bye, I'm gonna go ahead and see my way out of this conversation. seeing classics on Monday.
Yikes. So a devastated Max is an unhinged Max, and his train is completely off the rails. Mad Max Fury Road, if you will. Sad Max Fury Road. He eventually finds himself on Rafa's stoop. Oh my god, that's probably going to be an episode title, right? Like, Mad Max?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Rafa's stoop. I'm like, what?
No, but like Mad Max, you know, gotta have
it. Yeah, but okay, but you have to like change it, you know? Maybe it's Sad Max. Could be Sad Max.
Sad Max is good too. You can have that one for free, guys. So
if it happens, we know. Josh, we know you're listening.
We haven't gotten a review from @anthologist yet. I'm still waiting for it. Maybe today's the day. I don't know. Like, you show yourself when you're ready. Like, you take your time.
Preferably in the first six episodes, that would be ideal.
It would be really nice. But anyway.
So we could plan like our set visit while, you know.
Okay, Olivia, he's not going to listen if this episode is 3.5 hours long. I'm trying to get through
this. Right. Go ahead.
Anyway, he eventually finds himself on Rafa's stoop and is allowed to spend the night on his couch. Rafa points out that the whole plan was pretty irrational and destructive. True, Rafa's an adult. But he also acknowledges Max's very real pain. And like, I had a sort of live reaction to this, and I was like, okay, Max is at rock bottom. Where's he going to go? What is he going to do? What's he going to do was answered very quickly. Oh, coke. Okay, cool. And then where's he going to go? To Rafa's house. Interesting. Okay.
Interesting choice. Also, how do you know where this man lives? Creepy. Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Honestly, he probably opened up Scruff and like started geolocating.
Right. But also that like Rafa wasn't surprised that he was on his stoop.
No, not at all. Made me
uncomfortable. Like if somebody was. Yep. Yeah. Anytime. If someone shows up unexpected, I'm shocked.
Yeah. This is the part where I hope, you know, someone is listening to this. I need to say, like, first of all, Max's accent sounds so much better now. Like, he's clearly improved, gotten a lot better. I was like so impressed by Thomas Doherty during this scene. Where were you not, Olivia? Olivia's laughing.
I mean, I feel like any kind of legitimate acting from Thomas Doherty is basically Oscar winning. So
okay. Yeah, true. This is
where the Emmy comes in.
I really like there's no one's getting an Emmy for this show. they won't, because you know Hollywood doesn't respect projects that are like made for women. But I would like to underscore just how hard it must be to do the kind of acting that he is doing, but like he makes it look so easy, like crying and doing the emotional scene, but also keeping the accent like at the same time, and then also doing the physicality. Like, I just thought he was doing a really good job, and I was like, wow, that must be really difficult to film a scene like this but also have to like have a fake accent on top of all of it.
Yes, I agree.
Yes, and move on.
Yes, I agree.
I was impressed.
It is, you were crying, job.
Olivia.
I teared up at this this juncture in time.
This, you cannot say that he didn't do a good job.
It when wasn't you were tearing because up. It wasn't because of his acting. Honestly, if we're gonna commend an actor, it's Gideon.
Yeah, fair.
That's like what really like broke me was that situation, and then obviously like how affected Max was. Certainly, I mean, I don't know. Yes, I think he's
Olivia's
I think
as he's a child of divorce.
He's no, oh god, no. I mean, he's a great actor. Sure, and it was
great
emotional.
Job.
Literally, I. Yeah, it was great. It was great. I don't know that he's going to be like cast in a really Okay. Yeah.
Be nice. Yeah. Another thing, like you do see on Instagram and stuff, I feel like the guy who plays Rafa, who's Jason Gote, maybe is his name. you see Thomas Doherty say that, like, Jason Gotye is his favorite person to film with and stuff, and that, like, he likes his scenes with Jason the most. And I'm like, maybe it's because it's, like, where he gets to, like, get into these emotional things. Like, maybe we're gonna keep digging more into that, and that is something I'd be very interested in. As a twist, like, it would be interesting to me if the relationship between Rafa and Max became more, like, emotional, because it started out so sexual. Like, it would be, I don't know, I just think that would be kind of an interesting twist on the teacher-student thing that seemed so cut and dry at the beginning.
Yeah, I think, I'm sure he likes those scenes. There's so much more depth there, which,
and maybe they're just, like, pals and, like, they have fun, I don't know.
Right, I was gonna say, I'm like, no, that's not gonna happen. But
no, I mean, like, Thomas and Jason.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sure. But I think from what we've seen so far, it very much appears that those scenes is where the depth of Max comes in. But yeah. Also seeing, like, what appears to be genuine emotion and, like, actual tears from a man gets me, you know, like it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I'm either super uncomfortable or also crying. So I'm glad it went, you know, nice that way.
Yeah. So back to Julian. Oh, this is your turn. Sorry.
Oh, when Julian arrives home, she has a logical conversation with Davis, and he explains that he hid his relationship from her so that she knew she was always the most important woman in his life. Okay. She wants to meet Lola, presumably sober and on purpose this time. Julian makes the conscious decision to leave her phone at home the next day, which does not sit well with Monet and Luna. Those two are not to be slept on and have no problem taking measures into their own hands to reinstate the status quo at Constance.
Yep. And that's Julian and Max storyline. Moving on to Zoya and Obi, if you will. Zobi. I hate it. So, to the dismay of the Constance student body and possibly the entire internet, according to Luna, Zoya and Obi are very much an item. So Nick invites Obi over for a get-to-know-the-boyfriend dinner, where he is pleasantly surprised by the ease of their conversation and overall similar views. I'm sorry, just popped into my head. We were correct when I said that I thought the, like, housekeeper person's name at Roy and Gideon's house was Rocky. That was, in fact, the name. So Rocky Flintstone is their housekeeper chef person.
I mean, just to be a fly on the wall of, like, the average day of their house would be so interesting.
To go into Gideon's closet.
Yes, it's just a family. They need a spinoff show on their own of, like, the before
the
show.
I want the prequel.
Right. I need that. That's the show.
Josh, if you're listening, Josh, come on, Josh, please.
Yeah, Josh. That's the prequel I never knew I needed, but I want to see inside that house and life so much. And yeah. Ina, I'm sure, would be down. Jeffrey is rarely at home anyway, so Ina's the important one, clearly. So, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Back to Zoya and Obi. I just had to jump. It popped in my brain. I had to say it. So, Zoya is tired of the Jew Lion's constant trolling of her appearance, so she calls Luna from the bathroom during dinner to attempt a peace treaty and some negotiations. Luna makes an uncharacteristic offer to make over Zoya. Interestingly enough, never actually uses the word makeover.
right. But what does she say?
She's got a Pygmalion her.
Oh, which, okay. Whatever. I think I call it later the Mia Thermopolis makeover.
Yep, that's more our speed.
Right. So Zoya, we find out that Zoya's dad is a lawyer. I'm going to guess he's a public defender because he really fits that mold, in my opinion. Also, Zoya and Obi go on running dates, morning run dates. Ew.
They're down bad.
It's And then we see her running later. I don't know if it's in the beginning or later, in her armpits. It's there's so much there, and I hate running. No.
I think that was like someone spotting them out running.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so it would have happened before this. Might have
been on
their
Instagram that I saw today. It might not have even been on the episode. I think it was just on the Instagram.
I know. I feel like they showed it. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, because I know I saw it on the Instagram when I was scrolling
through them.
Yeah, we
definitely saw it on Instagram.
Yeah. Morning runs are not dates. Anyway, so this is also going to sound a little condescending, but I would be so annoyed if I was Nick as an adult, a lawyer, sitting at a table with this pretentious ass 16, 17 year old just ranting about his privilege guilt. Like, I don't know. I would hate it.
And like, that's genuinely coming from someone who often like likes people who tend to like present as pretentious. Like, I'm a big Harry Styles fan, for example. I have no problem saying like homeboy is so pretentious and like clearly so insecure about the fact that he like never got a formal education. But that's just, you know, my own psychoanalyst of Harry Styles.
Yeah, and I don't know. They make Nick seem as though he's not into it, but like he's like really approving. But like, let's be real. Nick is like, this little shit, shut up. Like, get back to me when you don't live in an entire building. Also, hashtag Zugly. I gotta give it. I hate it.
I think it's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I mean, better than Jew Lions. I cannot get over Jew Lions. Seems problematic to me. I don't know. Whatever.
Only when you say it out loud, and I don't think anyone is really saying it out loud.
Right. I'm just like not putting that bumper sticker on the back of my car, you know? but also, Zoya exits the dinner to make this phone call to Luna in the bathroom in the middle of dinner. Like, we couldn't have waited.
That didn't even seem weird to me. I didn't even notice that.
We couldn't wait till after dinner. At some point, I don't know.
We couldn't have.
Also,
sorry.
Luna's at a bar at that time. Normal 16-year-old activities.
She does answer, but I liked the way that she answered.
It was like,
what's happening here?
I don't know you. Yeah. I don't know her.
So Opie surprises Zoya with the next morning with plans for their first real Nick-approved date, complete with fancy opening night tickets to Jeremy O'Harris's new play, aka Comped Ticks from Max's dad. So like, Opie didn't even pay for these.
but he never implies that he didn't, you know. He's like, oh, I got this super special date planned for us. Like, no, those were free tickets.
Yeah. Luna, Max hooked you up. Like, stop
right.
it.
He's like, look at what I did for us. Nothing. Yeah. These were plans I was...
Nothing.
These were plans I was obligated to attend anyway, so you get to come with me now. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So Zoya meets up with Luna in the library for a Mia Thermopolis makeover and learns all the strange rules for a well-curated lifestyle. Did you have a favorite rule?
Honestly,
when she pulled out the syringe,
the Botox I thought was for the armpits, which, so Zoe has like a little freak out with I'm 14, why would I get Botox? But like, if you're a hoodie sweater, that makes sense.
She's not
trying to like put it in your face, but also
LOL at her saying it's preventative.
But Luna is also wearing I saw this the first time we see her in this scene, the shortest skirt I've maybe ever seen in my entire life. Like, yeah. It was so perfectly short that it was distracting, honestly. It was so short.
One thing that I have noticed, we have not seen a girl wear a pair of pants in this show in 3 episodes.
I'm not mad about it. Well, I think when Zoya wears pants, not like structured pants, but she wears shorts, maybe Zoya
might be the only one. I think it also helps, I was looking at some, like, there are some other like pictures of them filming a Christmas episode popped up on my feed. Apparently they're going to do an episode where like they're doing SantaCon festivities, which I thought was funny. And some of them were wearing pants, which makes sense because it's like December.
A Santa suit situation probably too. Santa pants don't count as pants. But then Luna also has a great line. This is the land of Schadenfreude on Adderall, which really, you know, resonated.
Okay. I also thought it was funny that Luna was so surprised that Zoya like didn't have a good side. And I was like, have you seen Whitney Peak? Like, she has the most symmetrical face I've ever seen. Like, she does not have a good side.
I mean, I think all of her sides are good.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, if your face is symmetrical, you don't have a good side. They're both good.
She's also 14. Like, I don't think you would.
I didn't discover which side was my good side until I was 24, probably. She's got 10 years to figure it out.
Right. I mean, I arguably don't have one, so.
No, I definitely do.
They're both bad, so. Okay. Okay.
This one is worse. This eyebrow's worse. Anyway, I sleep on this side. That's why.
Oh, I roll around. So that's.
Yeah. Anyway.
So at the play, Zoya debuts a more sophisticated look, but Obi notices fairly quickly that she is acting strangely. She refuses to discuss anything intellectual with him and avoids eating in public, but she can't keep herself contained when she overhears some theater talk that she disagrees with, and she inserts herself. I don't know. I really had no idea what was going on in this whole conversation. Okay. Yeah.
They were saying words, but it was just like, it was like one of those videos where people are like, this is what English sounds like to non-English speakers. And you're like, right. It feels like I should know what they're saying.
There's more people. Someone named Jeremy enters that I feel like I'm supposed to know, but if it's not.
That's Jeremy O'Harris, Olivia. That's the playwright. Okay.
Perfect. Oh my Why God. Was he
you
there?
You didn't even get that. You didn't even get that. Because he wrote the play and it was opening night.
Right. But like, I feel like he would be.
And it was the after party.
I don't know. I feel like he wouldn't be like where the 14-year-olds are. I don't know. I don't know.
He was with the adults. Well, the 14-year-olds were at the place the adults
were.
Like,
she was like by the bathroom eating like sushi or something, you know, like she was hiding. I don't know. Anyway. Right. So. Yeah, so she inserts herself into this conversation that I did not understand a single word of. Obi walks away frustrated and confused, but she catches up with him and explains that she was simply trying to be more of what he wants, kind of, I guess. She also points out that he might not entirely know or want to acknowledge who he actually is, which probably contributed to the demise of his relationship with Julian. And Obi and Julian are able to talk also later, and they come to amicable terms about the ending of their relationship. They both kind of take responsibility for things going south. Obi walks Zoya home and gives her a kiss goodnight, only to have it secretly photographed by her doorman, which seemed creepy.
Yeah, but it was also foreshadowed by Luna earlier in the episode where she says, like, doormans sell photos to TMZ.
Which... I don't know. That seems weird that TMZ would want those. I would think more send them to Gossip Girl, but whatever.
Yeah, the thing that I was like, oh, interesting, would compare this to, especially because there were, I think at the beginning there of the Zoya and Obi section, there were articles that Luna was reading about Zoya and Obi that weren't on Gossip Girl. And it reminded me of like when, I think it was like Malia Obama like went public with one of her boyfriends, and then everyone was like, freaking out and like very like, oh my god, like Malia Obama is like dating someone, oh my god, we gotta. And that's the situation I feel like with Obi. Like, I think Obi is likely quite famous outside of just like the Gossip Girl universe, so I think that people care about him. So I think that like if Daily Mail is putting up like pictures and articles of Julian, I think that like something else cares about what's his name? Obi.
Yeah, there was a specific, so I think Monet and Luna have a specific mention in this episode of Dumois. I don't know who it's in reference to, but
they say that Dumois put up some, I think it must have been one of those videos that we saw on Instagram. I think that's what it was, right? It was like eating or something.
Okay, yeah. So if that's the case, then I guess it makes sense, but I don't
know. Dumois did like post something on Instagram saying like Zoya's the last person that I would ever like post something about within this group, and I was like, wow, that's so funny.
But like, okay, Dumont, really, is that so? Because you post some garbage sometimes.
Okay,
unsubstantiated garbage.
I really would like to say it feels like they filmed the 2021 version of Gossip Girl in portrait mode and like the regular one on an iPhone 4.
Yeah,
there was some good bokeh in this. They really turned it up.
I feel the budget in every single scene. So yeah,
it's just expensive anyway, right. I noticed that. I love it.
So as they're sitting there through this actually, the play hadn't started yet. Obi, I begin to like less and less because he is, for his whole thing being his guilt and whatnot, he is so pretentious. It's annoying. And
I have a different take on this than you do.
Also, okay, so I know Zoya was like not supposed to be talking about intellectual things such as Hamilton. She says it's like a great piece. He mentions that he saw Hamilton at this theater with Max, and Zoya like kind of like brushes it off. What?
I read this scene completely differently.
She like didn't seem to hear what he was saying, in my opinion. And I was like, no. I don't care how deep in whatever I'm doing, if someone's like Hamilton, I'm like, I'm perking up, paying attention, and she couldn't care less. But yeah,
I was gonna say, I feel like to someone like Zoya, who is as like involved in the, why are you smiling like that?
I read the rest of my note and I'm like, oh, there it is.
I feel like to someone as involved in like the playwriting scene as Zoya, like Hamilton is very like basic, and that doesn't impress her as much.
Right, but I think the implications. No. Yeah, wait, but like the implications of Hamilton and like the global success of Hamilton, and I think is important, I guess.
Sure, but I think that like, I don't think that that would actually impress Zoya that much. I just don't. I don't know. I think it's like, oh, okay, Obi has a very like level one understanding of like what theater is, whereas like Zoya seems to be like, she was reading Slave Play, like all of these different things, like she's right on a level way above. It would be like Olivia,
they're pretentious like in different ways.
Yeah,
they're both pretentious, but they're both in different ways.
Yeah, it would be like if someone told you like, oh,
I cannot wait for this.
It would be like if someone told you like, oh, I love Vanderpump Rules, I just finished episode 5. You'd be like, what? You don't even like, that doesn't even count as like watching the show, you know? Like that's,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
so
like, I'm such a big fan, I just finished the first season. It's like, yeah. No, you have no idea. Yeah, I get that. I think also there's,
I was trying to be like, what's something that people can go really deep on that Olivia really loves, and like Vanderpump Rules was what I met it out at.
I see how you think of me, and it hurts a little bit.
No, it would be like, oh, I'm super into murder. What's, and then you'd be like, oh my god, wait, that's so sick. Like, who's your favorite murderer? And they're Ted Bundy, no, and you're like, oh, no. So basic. Fuck,
yeah. Okay. She's yes, murderer. But no, but yeah, no, it doesn't work like that. It's not. Yeah, but
that's my.
I get the
example.
Metaphor,
and you're yes. like, and you're a big. I don't know. Like, who's? I don't know who your favorite murderer is.
I don't have a favorite murderer.
Okay, fine, sure.
Right now, I'm really angry about Paul Flores, though, if anybody cares. Anyway.
Hometown anti-hero.
I was going to say, I'm like,
I still think about the watch being buried. Like, it just, oh, God. It's anyway, sorry.
The most recent episodes, like, actually make me viscerally angry. But also, I think there's a difference between, like, Broadway appreciation and theater, you know. I don't know, in my opinion there is, because I love Broadway.
I don't know, but yeah, like I said, Hamilton is just very kind of level one when you're talking about like New York theater,
whatever. Basic. Mean Girls on Broadway and Legally Blonde on Broadway are great too, so whatever, I'll be level one. But yeah, the he did win me back.
Broadway starring Dove Campbell. R.I.P.
So also he did win me back with like his uncomfortableness with the entire thing. Also 4 hours.
Discomfort, oh my God. Olivia. Jesus Christ. Uncomfortableness.
Right. Whatever. Okay. His discomfort with this whole, the whole situation. I don't think he knew what he was getting into. Neither did I. I see you there, Obi.
Yeah. Should we move on to the teachers? Bring us home here. I'll stop talking during this paragraph at some point. I don't know when that'll be, but this is a long one. The teachers aren't really broken up, so let's just get through it. So the headmistress, along with her Secret Service agents, calls an all-staff meeting to discuss Gossip Girl's looming presence. She declares that with the administrator diligence and a parent-funded intelligence agency, aka the same agency that like Harvey Weinstein hired to investigate Ronan Farrow, fun fact, Gossip Girl's identity will be rooted out and the perp will be expelled within a week. Rightfully shaking in their secondhand boots, love that, great, the Gossip Girl posse swiftly decides to alter their post to be more like that of a disgruntled student instead of a bunch of vindictive teachers. The next day, the teachers find out they're going to be questioned individually, which means the administrators are getting close to their secrets. They need a fall guy within their own ranks. They initially set their sights on Rafa, who knows about Gossip Girl, but has chosen not to participate. Wow. Do you want to jump in now, or should I keep going? Okay. So the tide turns quickly at Constance, though, after an awkward dinner from hell with Rima and her husband. Kate and Jordan know what they have to do. They have Whitney feed Rima a false tip, knowing she will post it to the Gossip Girl Insta while at Constance, thinking that she is protected by a firewall. But Jordan has disabled the security just long enough for the headmistress to pinpoint the Gossip Girl post to Rima's IP address. She is swiftly fired, that is employee number two fired from Constance during these three episodes of the show. And unbeknownst to the Constance administrators, Gossip Girl not only lives on, but has spread to several other private schools in the area, making resistance futile. Wow. Okay, so one of the things that during the all-hands meeting, one of the teachers who's not happy about Gossip Girl says Gossip Girl's a Cancer, and I'm like, I don't know, it seems more like a Gemini, but I digress. There's also a librarian named Libby, which you might be like, oh my God, there's no way a librarian's name is Libby. To which I say, the librarian at the high school that I went to, her name was Mrs. Story. So, you know,
do you think that was her God-given name, or do you think she changed it to that?
It was her married name, I believe.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. So, I also,
poetic justice there.
I also am sad that we lost this teacher. I truly never learned her name. I just found out that it was Rima right now.
So sad, like, we lost that one lady.
I know, so sad.
What's her name?
I put in here that Wendy Williams voiceover that's like, oh, she's dead. Oh, okay. Anyway, like, it's really just, we will move on, gone, but also forgotten.
Right. Honestly, like, she seemed cool, but then we met her husband. Normal. Right. Then we met her husband and he seemed rational, but a little bit too angry for me. Didn't love that. So
Yeah, I liked her. She seemed nice, but she also seemed like too nice to be a part of this group. So I don't know. I feel like once you realize, I don't know, I don't feel like this would be that difficult to put together that like they screwed you over. So I'm like, maybe we'll get a vindictive Rima at some point.
Right.
Also, Rima and Rafa is very fun to say. So hopefully they come back for vengeance.
Yeah, I feel like Rima, she makes a point to say on her way out, I didn't crack, you guys are safe.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have had to say that.
Yeah, which my instinct would have been, I feel like Rima is definitely number one to crack, for sure. Maybe Whitney, but Rima for sure.
No, Whitney would crack first.
I don't know, Jordan would crack. Honestly, all three of them would crack. Kate, say maybe not, again. I don't know, crack. But yeah, I don't know who would be first, Whitney, Jordan, or Rima. I think they would all... I don't know, maybe Rima after
now
the other two.
Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan's selling everybody down the river, 100%.
Except Kate. He'd die for Kate.
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, Whitney, Whitney's like throwing them all in front of the bus.
Yeah. As far as our predictions list, aka our bingo board, there were no new entries on the bingo board this week, which is sad, but fine. Interestingly enough, Olivia has Anna Delvey on her list. And one thing I learned this week is that they film Julian's apartment scenes in the Beekman Hotel, which is the one that Anna Delvey scammed a living to stay at. So it's the penthouse of the Beekman Hotel is where they film Julian's house
apartment,
so that's the Sky Palace. We know where it is now.
I just need them to maybe note that, like, oh, I saw her. I mean, I don't think they're implying that they live in the Beekman, but still.
No, yeah, that would be interesting if they were like, yeah, we live at the penthouse of that hotel, and like we saw her.
So, well, because I think they have like resident. They like have like residences and then also like hotel.
Yeah,
like divided or whatever. I feel like that
they probably don't even use the same elevator.
No, but I definitely feel like an Anna Delvey reference is coming.
It's imminent.
I feel it in my bones.
Who won the episode?
Okay. My winner. Okay. I can't say Obi, even though I think he's like the obvious winner. I refuse to just hand that over to him, like everything else that he has. I'm giving it to Lola because Lola gets what she wants.
I was
going
to give it to Lola too.
Oh yeah, Lola gets
whatever Lola wants. Lola gets
right.
That's
yeah,
a song.
That smile.
I
was going to say that smile that Lola has gets things done, or whatever the saying is that Obi says. Yeah, Lola like comes out on top. She gets her public relationship. She and like has. Everything's good in Lola
Land. She's also
land.
Like a nice girl in a club bathroom.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like she's your new best friend that you know.
Yeah.
Meet in the bathroom.
Episode
she's
loser.
She's a girl's girl for sure.
Episode loser. 3, 2, 1.
Max.
Gideon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was torn between Max and Gideon.
Yeah, I think Gideon. Gideon gets out of a relationship that he's being held back in.
True.
Max loses everything. So, and he's still on the spiral or in the downward spiral. He is, I don't know that he's hit rock bottom totally yet. So I don't know. Yeah. Max is my loser. Yeah. I think Gideon like bounces back from here. I think he's okay.
Actually, I'm going to take that back. Roy, loser.
Oh yeah. He sucks. He sucks. I don't even want, but yeah, I mean,
never met a Roy that I liked.
I don't know many Roys.
I don't know a single Roy.
Yeah, I don't know personally any Roys, certainly, but
I know the Roy family from Succession. That's all I got.
There's a comedian, Roy Wood Jr., who's good, but I mean, I don't like obviously know him personally, so
yeah. We're also going to change our predictions game a little bit. So I have the short synopsis again from HBO's PR page of WarnerMedia or whatever. This is the short synopsis of the next episode. So it is, Zoya's attempts to avoid her birthday are no match for Luna and Monet's warpath. While Julian escalates tensions, Nick and Davis put down their arms. Love to see it. Bad news sends Max on a bender. I don't know what other bad news he could get. Audrey levels with Aki and Kate gets an exciting opportunity. So, what do you think Luna and Monet are going to do to make Zoya have a birthday party, I guess?
Well, and okay, so they have some sort of information on, I don't know what they know about Zoya, but it's presumably,
I think they know the reason I think Julian might have told them the reason that she got kicked out, like, I don't know, or it could be something else.
Yeah, I don't know why they would have her. I don't know
what,
why
the secret was like, next week is Zoya's birthday.
We're gonna take that bitch down. It's her birthday coming up.
She's actually 12.
It's
don't
her
15th, tell Obi.
It's her 15th birthday this week. Ooh. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, if somebody is offering to throw you an awesome birthday party and like you don't even have to worry about people showing up, which is like my biggest fear in life. Honestly, what could go, like, what, I mean, not what could go wrong, because obviously we will find out what could go wrong, I'm sure. But I don't know. I mean, yeah. I'm not a big birthday person, and like, I wouldn't even avoid this, so.
Yeah. What do you think, while Julian escalates tensions, Nick and Davis put down their arms? I like Nick and Davis going, so it seems as though, like, maybe they're at the birthday party, and Nick and Davis both go to the birthday party, and Julian's going to do something.
Because Julian seems like she's in kind of a good place at the end of this episode, right? Like,
yeah, but that's like, the whole show is like Julian and Zoya like bouncing between like who's in a good place, who's in a bad place.
Yeah, I don't know, because even when Julian and Obi are talking towards the end of the episode, the last time we see Julian and Zoya even come close to interacting, Julian is telling Obi how cool Zoya is. So yeah. I don't know. This kind of baffled me when I read it, and I'm like, okay, whatever.
What bad news do you think Max is gonna get? Is it divorce? Okay,
yeah, that's divorce, what you think papers. It's gonna be. Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Audrey levels with Aki. She was already at a certain level that like maybe she shouldn't go back to. I don't know what this means. Maybe this means that like she tells him that she wants to like bring other people in. I think that's what I'm probably.
Yeah, I think maybe like an ultimatum sort of situation, because I think Audrey's the one who's going to get Aki on board with Max. Obviously, it's not going to be Aki.
On skateboard.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Aki's not going to be the one to be like, hey, Audrey, let's try this thing. It's going to be the other way around. So,
what it has to be in that situation. I think it has to be like the girl bringing it up.
It's definitely going to be like an ultimatum thing, because they're teenagers, and I'm excited about it.
And Kate gets an exciting opportunity. What's the opportunity?
I hope a Teachers Without Borders internship in a faraway country. I don't know. I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. Maybe she gets invited to Zoya's birthday party.
She probably.
She is Zoya's favorite teacher.
Chaperone.
Oh, exciting,
or she gets,
opportunity.
Goes on a date. With
yeah,
Nick.
I was gonna say she gets asked on a date. I don't know that that's like an opportunity, but like,
I
feel like opportunity implies like business deal or like a job or something, but yeah, maybe she gets asked on a date.
Yeah, maybe. Could be.
Hopefully by Nick, likely by Jordan.
Oh yeah, maybe. Yikes. Okay, and that's all that we have. So if you enjoyed this podcast, do a quick tab over to our Apple podcast page and rate us 5 stars, or give us a follow on Spotify. If you're feeling extra generous, you can leave us a review on Apple too. It's really a tragedy that Spotify doesn't have reviews, but you know, whatever. We move.
We press on. Also, be sure to talk about our podcast with anyone who listens, who will listen to you. Also, preferably watches the show would probably make a little bit more sense.
But either way, we do explain things quite thoroughly.
Right. You don't need to watch the show to listen to our podcast. We could.
I would encourage it though, especially if anyone involved with the show is listening. I'm encouraging everyone to watch.
Yes, everyone should send watch. Me a PR package. However, we could stand alone if necessary. We'd also, just share that our show exists. We'd be really happy about that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And if you have anything you want to share or comment with us about the show, you can email us at youroneandonlysourcepod@gmail.com or slide into our DMs on Instagram at youroneandonlysourcepod. You can follow us there too.
Yay. See you next week for episode 4.
Episode 4. Oh my God. We're halfway through.
Yes.
Crazy. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.